This is the Preservation Technology Podcast, bringing innovation to preservation. The Preservation Technology Podcast is a production of the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training, a unit of the National Park Service. I'm Dr. Catherine Cooper. I am here with
Mary Puckett. I'm an Associate Acquisitions Editor at the University Press of Florida.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in publishing?
I have probably a similar career trajectory as a lot of people in scholarly publishing, which is I started working at the press while I was in graduate school, just as a part-time job. And I just really liked working at the press. That career kind of appealed to me more than an academic career path. I really liked that I got to work kind of with scholars and scholarly ideas, but I also got to do fun things. Like I got to go to conferences and talk to other people about their ideas a lot. In academia, a lot of times it feels like you're kind of limited to thinking about whatever you're working on specifically, but publishing is a great opportunity to be able to talk to other people about what they're thinking and doing and working on. That's what really appealed to me about the publishing process and working in book publishing. So I just kind of stayed at the press. I mean, I graduated, so that was great. I was proud of myself for finishing, but I just stayed at the press and I was lucky enough to have job opportunities open up to me here. Your career in scholarly publishing is kind of an apprenticeship model where you start out as like an assistant to an editor and you kind of learn the basic things you need to know about making a book and all of that. And then you kind of start to gain knowledge about different parts of the process. And for me, that's the acquisition side of publishing. So I started to learn more about how to acquire book projects and how to talk to prospective authors and how to deal with situations that can come up that are kind of tricky and how to negotiate those things. So you just kind of learn gradually on how to do it. And then a job opened up for me here at the press. And so I just stay. And I really like working at UPF specifically.
When you select manuscripts or proposals, what are the things you're looking for? Is there anything in particular?
The books in my subject area are archaeology books. Part of that is the cultural heritage studies list, and we have a series in that list too. So I work on heritage studies projects and the archaeology list in general. The first thing that I look for is how well a book project will fit in with our existing catalog of books. And that has to do with some things like our ability to market books. We know what our audience is for our archaeology books. And so we want books that are kind of similar to the books that we already have so that we can sell the book appropriately and so that we can reach the right readers. So that's the biggest part of it, is just that fit within books that we already have published. But I also try to kind of find ways to branch out into new topics. And so I'll try to figure out, you know, if it's a book on another part of the world that we haven't published on, maybe it fits in with a theme from a book that we've already published that's about a place in North America or something. So I try to find those connections, and that can kind of help us to branch out a little bit. I don't really have requirements. You don't have to be a tenured professor to submit a book proposal. It can be anyone. I'm happy to talk to even graduate students if they're thinking about publishing a book in the future. The publishing process can be such a mystery. And so I've tried to make myself available to junior scholars and graduate students who are just kind of wondering about what publishing a book is like. And I'm open to reading proposals from all career levels, all backgrounds. And I've even read proposals that I don't think would be a good fit for the press, but because I have kind of a knowledge of what other scholarly presses publish on, I can recommend the press that would be a better fit for that project. So I'm happy to provide advice on that too. So at UPF, and I think this is the same for a lot of scholarly publishers, we do not accept unrevised dissertations. So an unrevised dissertation just means your dissertation as you wrote it, like you didn't do anything to change it. It still reads like a dissertation. You've got your literature review and, you know, the whole formula. Dissertation revisions are just fine to propose for book ideas. And I think it can be a good idea to talk to an acquisitions editor if you're thinking about revising your dissertation, to get their feedback on parts of the dissertation that you would maybe want to leave out, maybe things that should be added to. I always give prospective authors who are revising dissertations some book recommendations for them to read for strategies on revising their dissertation, things they should leave out, things they should keep in. I don't discriminate against revised dissertations. I think they can be really great books, but they do take a lot of work to revise and to make actual books. But if an author is willing to put in that work, I'm happy to work with them on that.
Do people come to you with a proposal? Do they come to you with a manuscript? Do you approach them?
Yeah, it's a mix of all three. Usually it's a proposal or an idea, and I can help authors put together a proposal. I can tell authors what kind of materials we need to consider their proposal for a contract. and to put that together. Sometimes authors send full manuscripts. That's not as common because usually authors want some, and understandably so, they want some kind of commitment from a press before they put all the effort into writing a manuscript. And also the feedback that you can get just from a proposal can be really helpful for writing the full manuscript. So it's usually a proposal. I often reach out to scholars I think would be good authors for our press, authors who are working on some kind of research that fits in with our list or that sounds really interesting or fascinating. And so I've reached out to authors to ask if they want to publish a book before. And so there are three main parts of the publication process. So the first part is the acquisitions part. So that's the proposal part. And I'll review the proposal and talk with the author about it. We'll decide if we want to do an advance contract. And that means that's a publishing contract that's signed before the peer review process. The other route is called a standard contract. And that's where the contract is signed after the review process. At UPF, our advance contract process is pretty straightforward. So we tend to do a lot of advance contracts. We'll talk about those details with the author and then we'll sign the advance contract and the author and I will decide on a due date for the manuscript. And then once the manuscript is in, the next main part of the acquisitions process is the peer review process. And that's what really distinguishes university presses from trade presses is that peer review process. That's the bulk of my job, is kind of shepherding manuscripts through the peer review process. I work with authors on that. I choose the reviewers and communicate the reviews back to the author and talk with them about how to move forward with their revisions or anything else that can improve the manuscript. At UPF, we require 2 peer reviewers to recommend publication in order to move on to the next step. So once the peer reviewers approve the manuscript for publication, we then send the project to our faculty editorial board for final publication approval. And the faculty editorial board reviews the review process, which sounds very confusing, but they'll just make sure that the review process has been rigorous and that the author has responded to the peer reviews appropriately. And so it's usually a pretty straightforward process of the board approval, so long as I've done my job appropriately. The next main big part is preparing the manuscript for our editorial design and production department. So that's when the final manuscript is ready to go. It goes to our editorial design and production, or EDP department. And that's where the manuscript really becomes a book. It's typeset and placed, copy edited, and all of that. And then the final step is the marketing phase. And that's where the book gets sent to conferences or to bookshops where it's physically published and it's ready to go to buyers. We have a great marketing department and we have a pretty good idea of how to sell our archaeology books, for example, and our other disciplines too. I'm just not knowledgeable about those. But we really appreciate author engagement with the marketing side of things. It can really improve sales. You know, if the author is good about promoting their book on social media or if they do book talks, any opportunity that the author has to kind of incorporate their book into their work just to kind of advertise for it in some way is really appreciated by us. And there can also be, you know, those little niche conferences that we may not be aware of that we could advertise the book at. We ask authors for those kinds of events or places that we may not know of that we could use to kind of sell the book and raise the book's profile. So we really like it when authors are participatory in that process. It's helpful for us and we learn from it.
How similar or different would you say it is, and how, to publish a book as opposed to a scholarly article?
The review process actually can maybe sometimes take about the same amount of time, which is interesting. You know, everyone's so busy and there are all kinds of timelines with COVID delays and things like that these days. So I think the review process could be comparable, but I think it's definitely more work to write a book than an article. It's a really sustained argument. You know, some of the same steps are involved as far as you have to get permissions to publish images in books the same way you do for a journal. And images need to be a certain size and resolution. And I think that journals have those same or similar requirements. But definitely the book project, it's a long game. I don't know if I have any specific guidance on how to determine if something is an article or a book. I think if you can think of 3 or 4 solid chapter ideas, it could probably be a book.
What would you recommend for people interested in publishing a book? What should they consider?
The first step would be determining if you have a book project. And then the second step would be thinking about where you would want to publish your book and maybe reaching out to the acquisitions editor at that press. We're always happy to hear from prospective authors and to talk about book proposals. That's like the fun part of our job. And it's almost never a bad thing. You know, like I said, if it's not a good fit for whatever press you have in mind, that editor may be able to tell you what publisher would be a better fit for your book. And so that could be helpful, a helpful next step. Think about what you have in mind. Send, it can be just a letter of interest to an acquisitions editor telling them, this is something I've been thinking about. You know, I don't really have a timeline. I don't have a manuscript, but I wanted to get your feedback on it. Even questions like that are perfectly fine to send to an acquisitions editor. And it can be really fun to talk about book projects at that stage because it's so early. It's really exciting. At UPF, we don't really have timelines in mind. And so even if your idea is, you know, several years out, it still doesn't hurt to talk to a prospective editor about what you're thinking.
How would you recommend a prospective author go about choosing an acquisitions editor to approach?
I would say that if it's a scholarly book, especially, to look at what publishers have published the books that you turn to the most and that you like the most in your field. That's probably going to be the first indication of the press that publishes books like the one that you're going to write. If it's a book on archaeology, hopefully you'll see that UPF has published a lot of those books because we have published a lot of archaeology books. And so that's one way to kind of figure out where your book fits in with the grand scheme of scholarly publishing. So that's where I would start. You know, maybe if you have a book that's a model, that's something that I advise. See who published it and then just go to that publisher's website and you can usually find the list of acquisitions editors for the different subject areas and then find an email address for them. And it's as easy as that.
Great. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Yeah, thank you. This is great.
This was a presentation of the Preservation Technology Podcast, produced by the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. To find more podcasts like this one, please visit our website,